Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, or good night to you wherever you are in the world. This is another episode of the Talk Data to Me podcast from Castlebridge. I'm joined by Tony Ellis from Buckinghamshire Local Authority in the United Kingdom to talk about their early stage journey in adopting Microsoft Copilot and some of the key lessons that have been learned along the way. Tony and I have known each other for, let's just say, a while. Tony, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hey, Stara. Hello, everyone. As I say, Tony Ellis, I'm the Service Director for IT at Buckinghamshire Council. And yes, Dara and I go back a few years with the data dream and the challenges, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, you say data dream. I think it's still that dream where I wake up and I haven't got my homework done and I left my trousers at home. But, you know, that's actually a good analogy for where a lot of organizations are when they start going, let's start using large language models or Microsoft Copilot in our organization. See how I do? I'm a professional podcaster, Tony. I segued that very neatly. So, Copilot.
So not only do I feel like I'm meeting the headmaster from a government's perspective, I'm meeting the headmaster from a podcast experience as well.
It comes with a name. We tend to be quite good at hosting things, apparently. But I'm cheaper than the other Dara. So Copilot, what made you wake up one morning to decide to turn on a tool like Copilot in Buckinghamshire Council? And has the dream lived up to expectations?
So we, just a bit about Buckinghamshire. So we're 3.5 years old. So we actually became a single council in April 2020, which was impeccable timing given the pandemic. You couldn't make it up. So we used to be 4 district councils, 1 county. So from an IT perspective, we're on the proverbial journey to replace all those legacy environments to build a new environment, et cetera, et cetera. Why that's relevant is we're already busy, already jammed. But when we started to have a look at Copilot back in the autumn, we had a choice where we thought, well, we can either play or not play. But at the time, we were invited by Microsoft to join their early access program, which for us meant that we've got a year's support from Microsoft. So that softens the impact, if you like. But I think there was enough in there for us to pique our interest. And from an IT perspective, we sat down with the team. And obviously, then I worked with my corporate director, and she was very enthusiastic as well. As we thought, well, it's going to happen anyway. But if we can get support from Microsoft, and given all the challenges facing not just Buckinghamshire local authorities, we thought, you know what, we'll go with it. I don't think we have a dream. I don't think we still have a dream. I think we've seen, and there was enough from what we saw to think maybe this could be different and maybe it could help. But frankly, we had no preconceived ideas as to where.
So you started from a landscape where you were already having to migrate and integrate multiple data systems, and then you're layering Copilot on top of that. That sounds like a fun set of projects to juggle.
Yeah, fun is that word that we use a lot. Interesting is the next word. It's fun and it's interesting. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, on the data side, if we just think about file shares, we inherited the proverbial spaghetti alphabet across the 5 organizations. We had T drives, Z drives, N drives, Y drives. So part of that journey was already to move away from that world. So we've closed all those down, moved those to SharePoint. We've created SharePoint champions, etc. However, obviously, we've also effectively done a lift and shift, and we've taken all those legacy permissions that have accrued over the last 400 years, all those sorts of things. That is part of our journey. And separately, you know, the sort of the next unitary project off the cab rank is to build a data platform so we can start to do all the sensible things. But we had to wait for that because, as you can imagine, we inherited 6 CRM systems. We've had to go through that, all that stuff on the application side. So yes, Copilot in a way sort of felt at the right time for us. We've put in a lot of work on the foundation side, way long, long way to go. But yeah, it's an interesting backdrop, which just, it does add a dynamic to how we use Copilot and some of the things that we're seeing.
Cool. So how are you using Copilot? What are the key use cases that you've seen developing, mm-hmm. or did you have some preconceived use cases before you dived in?
So one of the things we did is my director had a brilliant idea to stimulate interest in Copilot. And you have to remember, at the time, we were largely feeding off the Microsoft videos, because that's all there was. Within resources department at Buckinghamshire, which is HR, finance, IT, customer, business and digital, we held a Dragon's Den event. So we said to the staff, if you want to get together, say, for instance, in HR, and based on what you've seen, come forward and where you think Copilot might be able to help you. We actually had an event where each team, I think we had 9 teams, and we shared the content from the suggestions at the time. They came forward and said what they were going to do. And the prize was they were going to get the winning team, we get some Copilot licenses. In effect, we gave licenses to all of them, because what we wanted to do was stimulate some interest. So that was one approach. And actually, it's really interesting, because from those pitches, where we're seeing, and it is the proverbial journey, where we're seeing areas of particular interest from an ROI perspective or a health and wellbeing perspective, is in areas like the contact center, where it's a measurable process, where calls traditionally are recorded as well. Obviously, residents, etc., are told about that. But one of the areas of interest is there's a wrap-up time where the agent who's talking to you, and it could be quite a complex call to do with your benefits or your adult care, or you could be a relative having a quite complex call. There's a wrap-up time where the agent will summarise the call and pass it on to whoever it might be. The team had a view that actually Copilot, with the transcription capability, where it could transcribe the recording and do an accurate job, that could start to eat into the wrap-up time and reduce the call time, etc. They estimated 2 minutes, and so far that's what we're seeing. So there's an area there, and there's signs that the overall call time is coming down as well, because I'm not saying, can I just check, is that 10 Smith Road or is that this, because there's growing confidence now. Just because we like to make things fun and interesting, we'd also introduce a new CRM at the same time. That obviously staff needed time to adjust and get used to the system, and there would have been an expectation call times would have gone up. So we also think, and you still think, is that Copilot, the people who had Copilot, actually it lessened the impact. So where we are now is we just need a couple of months where we haven't muddied the water. So there's one area of particular interest. Obviously, I'll come on. So there's a wider point of, do you deploy it to a few staff, see how it goes, or do you go big? But we've seen everyone, not everyone, a vast majority, for some people, it just doesn't work for them. That's great. We'll get the license back. We're seeing the fact everyone individually benefits. So I get time back because I'm constantly used to search through my emails trying to find something, or go in and try and find something. You know, Copilot does a great job of pulling information together. So it's freeing up capacity for me, which is great, because I might have 10, 15% more capacity. It's not a saving. It's the proverbial, we saved a bit of an arm and a leg over here. So we get the fact that individually people are benefiting. The driver for us really for the next, I think it's going to be 5 or 6 hard months, is where we see what we call those communities of practice, where if Copilot across the piece, so analyzing complex documentation is a generic, you know, it's across all our business. An example that we're working on in IT is, I have far too many IT projects and not enough project managers. So our Dragon's Den pitch was, could we use Copilot to streamline the whole project management process? In that, could Copilot automatically create PID documents, requirement documentation through meetings, through project meetings and all of that? And actually, that's looking very positive in that I think the team, and this is the interesting thing, Copilot, and I think it's going to be a wider AI thing. If you push AI or Copilot too far, it will fall over. If you ask it just enough and ask it the prompts, is going to be a skill set that's, you know, a prompt being for the audience, if you're not familiar, is how you ask Copilot to do something. And we're all rapidly trying to learn what's the best way for you to ask Copilot what to do. but it's impressed the team in terms of just how it has taken a seemingly innocuous document and automatically created a PID, which would take time. PIDs are quite complex documentation. So that's a particular area of interest for us.
So is that the final PID or is that a draft PID that then someone reviews?
Well, this is the thing. Copilot will get you sort of 80% of the way there.
Yeah.
It speeds up that side of it. And then it gets refined and it moves on. And of course, if the PID turns into a project, you're using Copilot for all your project meetings, taking your notes, automatically creating your email. You can see, and what we're now doing for the next 5 to 6 months is joining up all those bits so that from, say, you came to me and said, I've got an IT requirement for student services. I've got a business relationship manager who will work with you to tease that out. That will be done through Copilot through now to a document. You refine it, you sign it off. That automatically creates a list, a requirements documentation within IT using templates, which then becomes a PID, which then becomes a project. So you can see where this is coming from.
Yeah,
we're already loosely, and this very conservative estimating, that it's going to free up at least 10 hours a month. And I think that's very conservative for a project manager. So that there's an area there. And I suppose the other area of really interest is in social care, because that's where the pain is. And not just us, but other local authorities are looking about how could we integrate Copilot into our social care system? So could it analyze case notes? Could it pull back a chronology of information, which might be in an email or in a chat? So there's lots of different areas. I think the challenge we've got now, it's not just us. I was on a call with lots of local authorities yesterday, is there's a massive amount of excitement, genuine enthusiasm from staff. Is we kind of, in some respects, Copilot can almost do too much when you're trying to hone in on an ROI. So we're on that journey in the next 6 months, is where is it going to provide some demonstrable financial savings? But equally, where is it helping in other areas? So from an accessibility perspective, it looks like it's got a great potential for some staff there who may have a particular requirement. So we're teasing it out. There's a health and wellbeing time. If we can get some time back from staff, is that a benefit? Some of our calls aren't nice ones. So will Copilot kind of lessen the human impact of hearing things? There's a lot to unpick. What you're hearing, Dara, is it's very early days. It's early days for the tech, and it's early days for all of us.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing, it's early days for the tech, early days for mapping what are the effective and high value use cases. What I'm actually hearing as well is the areas we are having early success are structured processes where you have a well-defined, well-understood process that might be using unstructured data and structured data. And what Copilot is giving you is the ability to summarize, to structure and to automate and move triggers along in a process. But the process has to be understood and the data in the process has to be understood before you start layering a magic box on top of it.
Absolutely. And there's also something around Copilot's ability to do comparison. So if you could give it a criteria and throw the right information, and I use throw in the, you know, my technical, as technical as I get, against that criteria, it's starting to look really interesting that, you know, say you had, you could have two tenders. You could have a specification of requirements for a tender for whatever, a widget, and you get submissions in from a supplier. Putting those submissions against the criteria, Copilot does a pretty good job on marking against that criteria. And frankly, all we're doing there is reverse engineering. So there's people out there interested in Copilot, or we're all the other local authorities, we're reverse engineering those nice glitzy videos because we can see what it's done. And then we're thinking, well, how would that work there? So there's a video about comparing two interviewees against selection criteria and questions. So we're thinking, okay, well, it could be a state benefit interviewee, it could be a care plan, it could be, I don't know. So there's other noise around there. Obviously, so go on.
Well, that's an interesting one.
It's
an interesting one. You're talking about using it to compare tenders or do comparisons against criteria. My cynical view is people in sales organizations I'm talking to are talking about using Copilot to write their tender submissions.
Let's
just get rid of the procurement department and let machine talk to machine.
Yeah. And we kind of get that. And one of the things which is already becoming clear is in our mindset is that, say, we free up 10% of someone's time, we're already thinking, but you know what? 5% of that's going to go back into human checking because it doesn't get it right. Sometimes it's hilariously wrong, and I mean hilariously wrong. So that's part of, and I think what's interesting and frankly challenging is, certainly for me, so I can only talk about from my personal experience, I'm having to unlearn how I've worked for the last 20 years, and I'm having to learn a new way of working, and we're all trying to comprehend just what that means and what the impact is.
We'll come back to that point on the human factors towards the end, but what I'd like to dig into now is the foundation. So you have the wonderful Dragon's Den approach to identifying some candidate use cases. You started building things. Were you like the king in Monty Python, the Holy Grail, who built his first castle in the swamp and it sank? Or did you have foundations in place, or what foundations were key to making things work? Or are you on your third castle, which is about to...
I don't know. I love the fact you put Monty Pisa there, because I'm thinking of loads we could throw into this one. Let me try and answer that, so I think I understand where you're coming from. So let me try this, and you can tell me if it works or not. In our approach, and again, there's no right or wrong here, and it's formed part of the discussions we're all having as a sector, is you could go small. You could allocate your co-pilot licenses just to one team, so it's perfectly formed, and there's a nice mechanism for you to gauge and monitor how people are getting on. And as I say, we took the view, do you know what? Actually, we'd push it out to the business, because the frontline staff. So if you're talking about the foundations, I think one of our foundation was we trusted our users. Now, obviously, all of this stays within the council's environment, so we're not sharing information externally. So obviously, we had to go through a process, DPIA, et cetera, from that perspective as a foundation. We've got an AI board now, which was going to happen anyway, but Copilot kind of accelerated our thinking in that perspective. So they check and vet everything. But if there was a foundation, it's trust our users. And frankly, if you're talking about castles, in doing that model, we're fully, you're putting the licenses out there to see what happened, and you have to accept in some areas it's not going to work. And this is where we are at the moment. Where in those service areas can we hone in our efforts and say we've pushed it out across all departments and all services, because we want each service to have a go. Some is just not going to, or it's just enough, not, it's great, I'm slightly more efficient, but it's not going to work. But where we want to hone in into where it is, and we're very clear with staff here, we get a report. If you're not using it, we won't take it away. We'll say, why aren't you using it? But we're recycling the licenses. So although we've got 300, actually a far more number of staff will actually get to experience that as well. Coming back to your Monty Python point, I love the fact that we're talking about data and governance and co-pilot, and you throw in Monty P. Well, this is why I enjoy catching up with you. So I'll come back with it like this. If we were to go with, obviously we know what have the Romans ever done for us, the roads, the medicine, aqueduct, etc. I would turn that into a conversation here, which is the challenge of trapping the potential benefit. So what has Copilot ever done for us? Well, it's definitely helped me save time. It's potentially got great potential to help us save money. It will certainly highlight where there's data for us to look at. So I take your castles, but I give you back the Romans. I think the other from a foundation, from a data perspective, is we were very clear with our staff that these are powerful tools, and that inevitably there will be times when Copilot finds something that you think you shouldn't have. And we've said to them, you're not doing anything wrong there, and the technology is not doing anything wrong there. What the technology is doing is lifting the lid, where over the years, and noting, we were five organizations historically, if our permission might be wrong or something has been shared that it shouldn't do. So we briefed staff when we were doing those training sessions. We had a set slot on that to say, You're not doing anything wrong, but what we need to do is we need you to tell us when that happens. So we've got a ServiceNow form, which is our IT help desk system, where they go in and they will say, I've just found this, I don't think I should have done, and that enables the team to then go back, and that learning feeds into our information governance side of things. So there's that foundation there as well. I'll stop there just to make sure I'm sticking to the castle analogy.
Yeah, no, that's the kind of castle. So you talked about the turrets you have. You've talked about the walls you have in the castle. You talked about the fact that you have an existing information governance structure that people are feeding into. You've defined processes where people can flag where something untoward is happening, and you manage the people side of that. You know me, I'm all about the people side of data.
At the end of the day.
But the key thing that I'm hearing as well is you're feeding things back into the information governance world. So are you using the exceptions to help improve your classification and categorization of content and data and improve permissions? Or are you just looking at the security element for now?
No, that's feeding into a wider project which was already going on around the data side. Where we are now is having closed down all those file shares and all that stuff, so we know what we've got, and we've arranged that things like IT are no longer responsible for your SharePoint permissions. We want it with the business because they know their business. They know it. And frankly, I didn't want IT being a bottleneck. So we've picked all those things off on the proverbial journey. I think the next step in that is learning from everything we've done on Copilot, and now we've got some stability on the data side, and we're doing the data platform, is we're starting to then, from a corporate perspective, where could we turn on retention, where could we turn on labeling, etc., etc. And an early sign of that is, you know, we the board, because we have an AI board now, and I would make a shout out for Lottie in London, who done some fantastic stuff on governance, and you know, there's nothing wrong with standing on the shoulders of others who've done so. We've lifted a lot of great knowledge from people like that, and setting up the board is, you know, for our recordings and transcripts, having 90 days as a retention. There's no reason to keep that information any longer, and frankly, when we've already got too much data, because every organization does, why would I add even more through Copilot? Yeah. So I might as well turn off the tap there and learn the lessons. But it's feeding into something that we know and are planning to do work on and are doing work on. But again, that one is a journey as well.
So again, just for the listeners, you didn't just turn on Copilot. You actually had another project that was looking at the data as well.
And to come back to your first question, why did you go for Copilot? It kind of felt like a piece in the jigsaw. Mm. Yeah, and I don't think any of us know what that final picture looks like, but you just knew it was a piece in the jigsaw, which reinforced, you know what, we're doing stuff in this area anyway. It is new tech. It felt, seems a sensible thing to do.
The analogy I would draw is you had a choice between hiring a smart, intelligent intern to go and crawl through your environment looking for stuff that shouldn't be available, or implementing Copilot, which is a smart, intelligent intern that doesn't sleep and doesn't book overtime.
The backdrop in UK local government isn't great.
Yeah.
It's probably the worst I've seen it, and I've been in the sector 30 years, so I'm old, you know. But
we're both of the vintage where a prompt engineer meant a technician who turned up on time.
A prompt was, you go to the theatre, there's a prompt. Actually, there's some fantastic prompts which do make me smile, which sometimes you've got to sit back and think, actually, what's going on here? So, for instance, if I wrote a big report for the powers that be, there's a great prompt, which is, as a reporter or as a legal worldwide renowned famous person, what questions would you ask of this report and what are the answers? And it does a very good job. You know, it's fascinating.
And that brings us to the people side. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about how you've managed the change management side of the people and making people feel comfortable with Copilot, making people feel comfortable with finding things they shouldn't necessarily find.
And have a play, give them time to have a play.
Yeah. In terms of, are you finding that people are thinking differently about their data and records now, or is that something you need to help them do so that they can do better prompting, that they can recognize problems better?
I think it's more the latter. I You know, I think, as we know, part of our challenge is getting people to become data aware. I think it's helping, but I wouldn't say it's their number one or two. Obviously, they think about how can it help me in my role? And equally, by the way, recording what it doesn't do or doesn't do very well is part of that journey. So we're making sure we're trapping that as well, because the technology. I'd like to think people will start to realize, because you do need time to understand what's going on. I think people will start to, a frontline officer is going to be focusing on their role, but I think it will help raise the data awareness. And if we could, and could is the word, for instance, surface some information from a back office system where it becomes more readily accessible. So for instance, one of the things we're doing on the social care side is, through Copilot, could it surface a summary demographic of Tony Ellis 10 Smith Road to show what fields of information are missing? Now, that is buried in the back office system, but with my old data quality hat on, you know, could it? And this is about, could it make that information more accessible from one place? So that's where it starts to get. Now, they're not going to be thinking that, but there's a core group of people who get it and are excited by it. And that's where you start to think about how it could help. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it's about giving people the tools. One of the things we're seeing with clients and talk just in general around data, particularly on the business side, there's an increasing awareness that data is a thing. It's not IT's thing. And business, even at frontline, it goes back to my time. I started in data as a call center team leader, screwing things up. And for my sins, the wheel of karma has now put me here. But when someone has the ability to access and interrogate and see data being presented in a way that makes their job easier, and when bad data it can be clearly identified as making their job harder, we need to be giving people the tools to have that conversation up the organization and across the organization. Yeah. And I'm just, is that something that's on your roadmap, or is that something that's happening organically?
That's definitely happening. Obviously, you know, no decisions have been made on the Copilot data or anything like that, you know, and we're very clear about that. And, but yes, I think it is definitely raising awareness in a good and bad way. Exciting. Hey, could it do this? Could it do that? In a bad, stuff to be done there. But then that's feeding into a mechanism and a governance framework that's already there. So, it is. I think Copilot is different for me in that it's sitting on top of an office product that staff know, but frankly, we're only making 10% use of anyway.
Yeah.
So there's a familiarity. You know, we've all been around long enough to, you know, there was a technology that came along with it. I had a big excitement around it, and it kind of worked, but probably might end up with a few techie geeks doing some stuff. I think there's a universal dynamic to this that gives it a chance of doing more than certainly I've seen before, but it definitely feeds into the whole data aspect of life. And who knows, could we have that proverbial dashboard where I get a snapshot of what's going on with Tony Ellis 10 Smith Road? I think it's a part of that jigsaw. Don't forget, you and I met because I started off in local government in one department, moved over to another department, and in my first week bumped into one of my favourite clients, who was a pensioner who had all the information there ready for that department that I knew was on the system. I just left, so that's why I became a master data management junkie and joined up there. All those things I talked about 20 years ago are absolutely relevant now. And can this technology help? I think it probably could. But it's going to come back to, if it lifts the lid on poor quality data, that means we can then do something. As you know, there's some data that's been wrong for 200 years. It's not hurting the client. It's not hurting us financially. It's there.
Yeah.
But there is some data actually is really important. So if this technology can lift the lid on that and make it much more transparent that it's not there or it's wrong or it needs checking, then it could be interesting times.
But in that context, we need to make sure we're building good governance structures around it, good safeguards, good controls, and that brings us back to the role of people and the basic foundations of data, which we've been banging on about since the dawn of time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the other advantage in doing 300 is it's manageable. And that's going to be one of the challenges going forward, because frankly, there's no point ringing my IT help desk because only what two people there have got a license. So... So we are, and you know, it is hard work. Credit to the staff involved. They have their day job and they've taken on board Copilot. And there's no use cases. In fact, everyone's ringing us. Where's your use cases? Where's your ROI? Well, there aren't any. You know, there's that great bit, isn't it? Oh, God, I don't know where this has come from. You started with Monty Python's, the Oklahoma race, and all the wagons are lined up, yep. Someone lifts the lid. We're in that frontier territory, and that is sometimes difficult. Some staff say, well, come on, you must tell me. No, actually, we were trying to figure out ourselves. So I think once they get, so again, that's a human element. Some are comfortable with that. Some need some additional support. So it's been a really interesting journey.
It's almost going back to the days of dynamic systems and development methodology where the business had to come with their idea of what they wanted the thing to do. And then we figured out how to make it happen.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm so old that everything old is new again.
Yeah, but was it ever thus? Come on.
Yeah.
Has that ever been? It's just when we come from the data perspective, it's the same old. But, you know, maybe this one has, you know, it's like a torch. I talk to staff. I meet all the staff who join the team. And I say to them, you know, in a new job, it's like, for me, it's like walking through fog. You go home after your first week, you haven't got a clue what's going on. It's like you have a little torch. You can see a little bit further. You can see it. And it's a bit like, and it's definitely like that. So it's been really fascinating, but we've got so much to learn.
So Copilot, it is a revolution in information management, but like all revolutions, it's just some things are coming around again. The classics of master data management,
I still have the MDM dream. I wish I did, to be honest with you. I just envy the people who never got it, because once you get it, you think, why can't you see what I see? So it's a revolution. It's a revolution. I think we're trying to figure out quite how it's a revolution. It certainly has all the potential to be transformational. And I think the other thing we're all aware of, and I do not profess to be an AI expert in any shape or form, but the speed of the tech development, what it can't do now and what it might be able to do in 9 months' time.
Yeah.
It's and that's why you need to know, well, it can't do it now, but if I came back in 9 months' time, could it? So, for instance, Microsoft hadn't released Copilot for Excel yet. So that's due next month. So it's going to be really interesting, because it's one thing to analyze text. It's another thing, because, you know, the way these things work, as I've slowly come to understand, and I hope I keep this right, you know, is it analyzes lots of text and it indexes, it's all probabilities and all those nice things. Numbers are quite precise. 2 + 2 yeah. should be 4. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens when we have a long, hard play with Excel, for instance.
That's the interesting world, because in text analysis, a friend of mine, he's a academic researcher in machine learning and AI. He describes large language models and these sorts of predictive tools as magic eight balls on steroids based off of a large amount of training data. You shake it and see what happens. But when we get into more structured data and where the accuracy of the output is going to be much more important, I think that's where, again, going back to safeguards and people understanding data will become much more important.
Yeah, and absolutely. And for us, that comes back to, we're already saying, we definitely know, you know, we will set aside time for some check-in, validation, all those good things. But I would say it is interesting to hear staff. There's a common message, which is, it's nice to have something that helps me, which I find is a really, really interesting statement. And I think we need to see where that's going to take us.
That's a perfect statement to finish on. So I think we'll draw a line under now, Tony. Thank you very much for your time this morning, for having the chat. I've learned a lot, and it's good to have a good conversation about this emerging technology, these emerging use cases, but the fact that the fundamentals remain the same.
Yeah. Was it ever thus?
Okay. Well, you can start.
I'm going to go back to my castle now. So thank you. Thank you for the invite. Follow the stuff that you do, Dara. As you know, I acquire it and use it, but I do declare. So thank you as well. Right.
You can steal that prompt engineer joke.
And I should say, if there's any public sector organisations out there across the world, we'd love to hear from you. So we're doing a heck of a lot of work. Just for 30 seconds plug, the challenges we face, we're very aware as a sector, so we're doing a lot of work with other councils. We've got a co-pilot group where we want to get, because it's new, we want to get in at the beginning and work as a sector. So there's the great thing about the public sector is we talk to each other, so there's a hell of a lot of sharing knowledge experience. We're all in the same boat, we're all kind of at the same place. But if there's any worldwide public sector organization out there, love to hear from them.
That was the Talk Data to Me podcast featuring our special guest, Tony Ellis. To find out more about how Castlebridge can help you map your responsible AI journey, visit castlebridge.ie. Or if you want to come to our Leaders Data Summit, check out summit.castlebridge.info for more information.